Welcome to the Reach the Stars podcast, a collection of conversations with cool people who do cool things. Brought to you by Papercraft Miracles. Each week, we'll bring you inspiring stories of persistence, passion, and purpose. With your host, Jonna Willoughby-Lore.
Welcome to the Reach the Stars podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Jonna Willoughby-Lore. And this week, I have a super exciting guest. Her name is Vishali. Oh my God. Say your last name. I know you put
Nikade.
It in.
Nikade.
Nikade. Oh my God. All right. Vishali Nikade. It's such a cool name. Has a good flow to it. But she is an expert psychic. So I'm super pumped to talk to her today. And she is super, super accurate with all of her predictions and for things that play out in real life. And for anyone who knows me, I'm one of those people that if I go to a magic show, if I go to a medium, if I go to a psychic, I just love any type of connection with things that are unexplained and I don't need them explained to me. I'm just like, do it again. So cool. So I'm really excited to talk to you today. I'm going to let her tell you a little bit more about her story because it's super long, but there's lots of really cool details that obviously she will know better than me. So without further ado, can you tell everyone a little bit more about you and where you come from and what your story is?
Sure. So, hey, everybody. Like Jenna said, my name is Vishali, and I am actually a psychic. And before I became a psychic, I was an engineer. I used to design computer chips. So that's a little bit of a transition.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, so slightly from like right left brain to right brain kind of a thing. And what happened is at one point in time, I was actually seeking answers. And I had this brilliant idea that if psychics can see the future, then they'll be able to tell me my future. I mean, how cool is that? So I decided to call up a psychic. And I asked her whatever my question was. And she said that there was a big black cloud or something beneath my head. And I needed to get rid of it in order to kind of move forward. Otherwise, nothing would move forward. I said, oh my God, that's totally not acceptable. I definitely have to get rid of that black cloud. So I asked her, and I was so dumb and so naive. I asked her, I said, so how do I get rid of the black cloud? She said, you know, you can burn a candle and then that will help you get rid of the black cloud. So I said, oh, so I can just go to any store, get a candle and burn it. And she said, no. There is a special candle and I have that candle. And you have to, when I burn that candle for you, you'll be able to get rid of the black cloud. So I said, amazing. And I asked her how much it would cost. Did you want to guess how much it would cost for her to burn that candle?
$29.95.
Actually, it was like just $900.
Are you crazy?
I'm like, what? Oh my God, $900? Man, I don't know how much money you make, but $900 was a lot of money even back then, and even today, for one candle.
Yes, seriously.
So I said, okay, let me just like think about it and look at my bank balance and see if I can pay you $900. And I never called her back. So I decided that, you know, she was not real. So maybe it was just my luck that I got on with somebody who was not real. So I decided to try some more psychics. So I went on to like 4 or 5 different psychics and nothing came out of them. So I kept going. I went to like 10 or 20. And then by the time I was done, it was about 40 or 50 different psychics that I went through. And at that point, I threw my hands up in the air and said, these guys are clowns. They have no idea what they're talking about. I need to figure this out myself. So I decided to figure it out myself. And I decided how to learn to predict the future. And coming from a science background, I realized that, you know, if I cannot predict it for myself, then it's not real. And these people are just making things up. And there's no need to go any further. So I said that if I could predict it for, say, 6 months, 9 months, 3 months down the road, then I could also predict it for like 3 days, 1 day, couple hours down the road. And I decided to play with it. So I did it for fun. You can say it was for fun or entertainment or playing just to kind of see if something comes out of it. I wasn't attached to the results. I didn't care if it worked or not. I was experimenting. And I used to go to the gym in the morning. And I said that, you know, like there is enough variety every day in what happens in the gym. I would be there for a little around an hour or so, a little bit plus minus 15, 20 minutes. So I said, there's enough variety in what happens in the gym every day. So if I can do a reading and predict what's going to happen in the gym before I go and then compare it after it happens when I come back, then, you know, I'll be able to tell within a week or so whether or not it's real. So I decided to start playing with it. And the first day I did it, I sat down and I was a little more sincere at the time. So I literally wrote down what the prediction was going to be. And then I come back and voila, it actually played out. I'm like, one day it can be a fluke. So then I decided to do it the second day. And same thing, I went and I did the reading and I forget about it because when you go to the gym, there's so much noise, you can't even think. So I just went, I did my thing, I came back and I come and look at the reading and it played out. I'm like, okay, once or twice it can be a fluke, let's try one more day. So I did the same thing the third day. I go ahead, I write down the reading, I come back and I see it played out. So now I kind of sat down and I started scratching my head. I said, okay, there is definitely some truth to this. So how is it that, you know, I'm able to predict my own future? That's too scary. But if I can predict it, that means I can change it, which was the good part. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, so today, so then the next day was a Thursday. So I did it 3 days. So this was the fourth day in a row. And I said, so today I'm going to change my future. So I said, whatever the reading says, I'm going to do the opposite. So I was going to either run or I was going to go on the Stairmaster. And I said, if the reading says that I'm going to run, then I'll go and do the Stairmaster. And if the reading says Stairmaster, then I'll go and run. So that way I'm right, the reading is wrong. So when I looked at the reading, I completely fell off my chair. I'm like, oh my God. Because what the reading showed is that no matter what I did, I would be right and the reading would also be correct. Did you want to make a guess what it showed?
What did it say? I don't know.
It said woman at crossroads. Meaning that no matter what I did, both of us would be right. So that day there was like a switch in my brain that actually flipped. And I said, okay, this is real. Now I need to look at it with a different perspective. So initially it was more for playing and more for, let's say, entertainment and just trying to figure out if it's even remotely real. And then I said, okay, so this is real. So now I need to study it. So then I started studying it and I started studying it by just experimenting with things on myself. And then I said, okay, now I need some guinea pigs. So because I had to practice it on other people, and unless, you know, I could predict it for other people, I didn't know whether or not I'd be able to move forward. So I started putting some ads on Craigslist. And that's how I got like a few clients. And then I signed up for some websites who do like instant readings and chat readings and those kind of things. And then I just moved forward from there. So that's how I actually became a psychic.
I love that. Especially that you were like, I'm going to take this from a scientific background. And I love that you're like, this is my hypothesis. I'm going to test this out once. I'm going to test this out twice. I'm going to test it out three times. I love that. So when you were first making your predictions about what was going to happen at the gym, like what kind of things were you guessing would happen or not happen? Like how?
So I still actually do that. So that story was like back in 2014. So it's been a long time since then, like 6-7 years. And now the gyms, well, the gyms are just starting to open, but I actually go on the mountain on a hike. And before I go on a hike, I actually kind of go and do a reading as to what's going to happen. And it just helps me refine my prediction skills so that I can get more accuracy and predict more accurately for other people as well, and go get more accuracy for the readings actually playing out. So let me think of a couple of examples lately of what would have or could have played out. Now, I didn't come prepared, and I do tons of readings. So I may just have to give a different example. Would that be okay if I just give a different example?
Yeah, I mean, just any example of a thing where you know, kind of along the lines of, on my hike, I'm going to see 5 deer, or is it like, not like that?
Oh my God, today I was driving to my hike and I saw like, I couldn't see properly. It was too early in the morning. I saw some sort of an object on the road. I said, you know, I don't want to drive over something just in case my tire gets spoiled. You know, I would drive around it. And I drove around it. And when I was seeing it was like a snake, I'm like, ooh. And then when I came back, I thought, you know, definitely by now the snake would be gone. And the snake was still sitting on the road. So I have seen a lot of snakes on the hike, actually. But coming back to the readings, so when, like I said, you know, when I got started, I was playing and I wanted to flex my muscles. So I signed up for a website called Fiverr. It's still around. And on Fiverr, you know, essentially you can do something for like $5 or $10, something like that. So I was like hosting from my side and I was doing readings. So a lot of the people who would come to me, they would come to me for like relationship readings, and they wanted to know about their future boyfriend or girlfriend. So I came up with this new reading called the Future Boyfriend or Girlfriend Prediction. And I would give them a description of what their future girlfriend or boyfriend would look like. So this guy came to me and I gave him the prediction and I told him that, hey, let me know how it plays out. And I say that to a lot of people. I won't say that to everyone, because some people, I don't even want them to come back. But I said, let me know how it plays out. So then he came back and he said, actually, it played out the way you said it. So for him, what I had predicted is that he would meet his girlfriend like in a very closed area. There wouldn't be like much room to move, and there would be a lot of darkness. It would be very dimly lit. And I told him there would be some movement, I said some motion. I say I see some motion and very little room to move. So did you want to make a guess where he met her?
In an elevator?
Yeah, he did. So he came back and told me I met her in an elevator. And then I had wrote that something about books and studies. So she was actually carrying some books with her. So that was one of the predictions during my earlier times for the future girlfriend or boyfriend reading.
That's so cool. I want to ask you so many questions now, like, ooh, what's going to be the answer for this? But I want to know a little bit more about you. I mean, where are you located?
So I am up in Northern California in the San Francisco Bay Area.
It's cool.
I moved here in, I graduated from the Midwest. I used to be in the Midwest. That's where I graduated from, Indiana. And then I moved to California for my first job. And after I moved, that was back in Southern California. And then I just kept moving within California. So I ended up in the Bay Area in 2001, just before the September 11th incident happened. And then I've been here for now 20 years, long time.
Awesome. I was just in LA.
Oh, okay. So I used to be in Orange County in Irvine area. That's where I had my first job.
Cool. I was staying in Simi Valley, scenic Simi Valley.
Yeah.
And then I was out in Marietta. My sister is staying on a farm out there in the mountains. It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Had a great time in California. Anyway, so I'm curious what your life was like before you were in college.
Before I was in college?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I was a student. So all I was doing was studying, and there wasn't much more of life other than just the studies.
Where were you born?
I was actually born in India. I moved here to do my master's degree. I moved to the US for my master's, and then I stayed back.
So once you were done with school, you were like, now I can do my life of whatever I want to. So before that, it was pretty much just like, I'm doing school.
Yeah, so when I was in school, I would kind of visit astrologers and stuff. So there was always an interest of some sort. Mm-hmm. But to turn it into a profession is something different. And I studied all these things like much later. So when I was working in one of my jobs in the Bay Area, I would actually take some time off during the breaks or vacations. I would take vacations and I would go to conferences. And I went to conferences and I studied astrology, Vedic astrology. But I wasn't able to get the type of results that I was looking for. And I kind of didn't move much further along with it. So it was mainly, you can think of it as a hobby or something. But things changed and, you know, I guess the interest was still there. So I just found a different way to get to it.
So are you a psychic full time?
Yes, I am.
That's so
well,
cool.
It's partly, well, I want to say kind of partly. And then I'm also working on online courses related to business, like lead magnets and things like that. But yeah, other than that, I'm a psychic.
So cool. So it says in your bio that you have done over 7,000 readings, which is amazing. I was reading this book by John Edwards, who's a medium. He has had that TV show for a long time. He's got a whole bunch of books, and it was about developing your spiritual intuition and kind of broaching the border between communicating with spirits and not. And one of the things that he talked about was developing your psychic self-defense to be able to kind of keep other people's crap out of your own psychic zone. And I'm wondering if you do stuff like that before you do readings. And
yeah, so that's more like protection. So I wanted to touch on a couple of points. So mediumship is different. It's just a branch of psychism.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's also a difference between psychic as well as an intuitive. So I'll just touch upon the point so that the people can understand. So we are all born with these abilities. We all have the psychic or intuitive abilities. And each one of us, depending on how we exercise them, you know, we can develop them and we can use them. You know, think of it as most people are born with two legs. And some people use those two legs to just walk. And some people just use them to just maybe jog a little bit. And some people will use them to run. And some will use them to run on the mountain. And some will use them to run races. And some will use them to run marathon, right? So it's the same pair of two legs, but different uses.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody is saying intuition, that is just like, you know, oh, I had this gut feeling that this thing would happen kind of a thing. So there is no substance to it. I don't want to say it in a negative way, but it's more like based on the person, you know, mm-hmm. saying that, oh, I had this feeling that this was going to happen, that kind of a thing. So it's at a very, very high level. And when you're talking of someone who is a psychic and who actually does like a real psychic, not the black cloud psychic kind of a person, but they actually do predictions. And when you do the prediction, you should be able to tell in fact, you can tell down to the most minor detail as to what is going to happen. It just depends on, you know, how much you're going to sit down and go and delve into the details. And based on that, you can actually give predictions. Like, for instance, the prediction I gave about the guy who was going to meet his girlfriend. And I kind of gave him a lot of the environment, saying that, yeah, it was dark room, very dimly lit. So there is a little bit of lighting in the elevator and there was some movement and she was carrying books and very little opportunity to talk. So all those kind of things. So it is pretty much nailing down the thing. So that's like a psychic. Now, if an intuitive was to give that prediction, he would have just said, oh, maybe, how do I say, if an intuitive, yeah, I have a gut feeling that you'll kind of meet her somewhere, kind of a thing. So that's a very, very high level kind of a prediction. And mediumship is more like talking to people who have passed away or who do not have a body at this moment. So that's what mediumship is. Mm-hmm. Some people are interested in the medium readings kind of a thing, where they want to talk to somebody who's deceased and kind of get a message for them. And as far as the protection is concerned, that is more like a psychic protection. So I actually studied all these things. So it's more like a protection to prevent somebody else's energy from coming into your space. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it at a physical level, you know, think of a person who's kind of really mad at you, and he or she is saying things to you, which may or may not be true, but essentially, in a layman's term, they're just trying to vent because something is probably wrong with either them or their life, and they do not have an outlet as to how they can expend that energy, and they see you, and then, you know, essentially you kind of become the target for them. I'm sure you can relate to a scenario like that where you've been in that or a situation or seen it somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, definitely for sure. I was just curious to know if before you are doing a reading with somebody, like, do you intentionally say, like, this is me, this is you, your craziness is not coming over here. If that's something that you do in your psychic practice, or I was just curious.
Yes, definitely. I don't, not only do I keep them away psychically, but I also don't have a bias. So if, for instance, you know, like in a relationship reading, if somebody is going to ask me, you know, if their boyfriend is going to come back, and I see it as a negative response or a negative reading, then I just tell them no. So no matter what kind of questions they ask and how much they ask, I don't really change my answer. Some people will like it and some people don't. Some people just hang up the phone, and some people will kind of dive a little bit more and then come back after 3 months and say that, oh, I wasn't quite ready to hear that answer, but, you know, now I'm more ready and I want to know what's going to happen next, kind of a thing.
So cool. I love it. I'm trying to think what else I want to ask you about.
Do you have any people who do business stuff or just mainly personal listeners?
I think it's kind of a mixture of both. I mean, I have a lot of entrepreneurs that I have on the show, but I also interview creatives and musicians and poets and other types of entrepreneurs and activists and stuff like that. And just interesting people. So,
yeah, no, I was going to give you a few business examples, like the one I gave for the elevator, just in case there were people related to business in the show.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there are entrepreneurs that listen to my show too. I just know a lot of people who kind of do the crossover. So they're in lots of different areas. They do entrepreneur stuff and artist stuff or vice versa. Go for it.
So for one of the clients I was working with, she was actually putting a bid on a contract. So she actually came to me for some sort of a relationship reading. And she was putting a bid on a contract. And she said that she was going to bid the contract for like $225,000. It was a fairly big contract. And she was very nervous because she didn't want to lose it. So she's like, should I go down to 200? Should I go to 250? I don't want to overbid. I don't want to leave money on the table. So she was essentially a little bit of a mess because she didn't want to overbid. She didn't want to underbid. So I kind of combine a little bit of my math knowledge along with the psychic stuff. And then I was able to give her the numbers. So I said, you know, you could bid around 250, 260 and you'll still get it. And if you bid higher than that, then it's probably like too high. So she ended up bidding around 260,000 and she actually got the contract. So she got a big raise, 35 grand.
That's awesome. I could use 35 grand. Wish I talked to you. I bid out this crazy contract I did earlier this year.
Oh, yeah. So next time, if you have to bid a contract, then you know where to find me.
I will. So I want you to talk more about your life as an engineer before you started doing psychic stuff. And like, what was the main impetus that led you to want to start talking to psychics in the first place?
So my life as an engineer was very different, very different. So I used to design computer chips. And if you see like the computer chips, there are actually circuits inside them. And I used to actually design those circuits. And how was my life different? I was working mainly with a lot of engineers and a lot of different other branches related to engineering to kind of put a whole system together. So it was a completely different audience and different kind of environment, different atmosphere. It was a lot of fun. And at one point, what happened is I actually had quit my job and I was working on a startup. And when I was doing that, I was actually looking for help because I wasn't able to get the type of clients that I was looking for. And that's when actually I started seeking psychics because I kind of knew that I had to do something because I wasn't getting, I'm sure no entrepreneur has had the problem of not getting clients. But I realized that I had to do something different. And that's when I started calling up different psychics and asking them for help. And some of them were helpful. They would say a few things. Oh, you know, I see this guy coming and he will help you market your project. I'm like, dude, give me something more specific.
Exactly. Don't just tell me it's going to come and send you an email about your SEO. You're like, no.
Yeah. No. I'm like, I need something more concrete, something more definite where you can actually tell, you know, you can tell me like what to do. Like, you know, that's the type of readings I do. I do more corrective readings with people, you know, like if, for instance, I gave this guy a reading, it was related to his business and he was putting down some money. And I said, you're going to lose the money. And essentially what happened is he was giving his money to someone who was going to fly abroad and get some gemstones. And he asked that guy that, can you show me your plane tickets? And the guy wasn't able to show his plane tickets. So essentially he withdrew the deal and it was like $150,000 that we are talking about. So that's quite a bit of money. But think of it this way, that if you can, like I said, you know, if you can predict certain things, then you can also change certain things. So I don't want to say each and everything, but definitely certain things you can change. And then based on that, I'll give an example. Now I just remembered. So you were asking about the hiking example. So one day I was, I think it was a weekend or something. I don't remember. So I believe it was a weekend. So I've been going on that mountain since COVID hit. So now I know most of the trails. I don't want to say all the trails because when I say I know a lot of the trails, I usually see another trail and people coming from like, man, I didn't know there was a trail there. So I kind of decide when I go and park, I decide which trail I'm going to go with. So that day I decided, so let's say that I was going to go to the trail on the right. And then when I did the reading, the reading showed that, you know, I would lose something. I'm like, man, what am I going to lose? So I said, okay, I'll just follow the reading. I'll just go on the trail on the left. And then I started going on the trail on the left. And, you know, the day before when I was running, I had actually dropped my gloves. And they just fell out from my pocket from the jacket that I had on. And then when I was just started walking, I saw the gloves were kind of still sitting there. I'm like, oh my God, I just picked up the gloves. So if I had gone the other trail, I don't know if I had found them. So that's one example.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I've definitely had experiences in my life like that where I think about something and then a very short time after that, it happens. And I'm not super intentional about it, but it does like sneak up. And there's a lot of kind of, I call it weird shit. There's weird shit out there in my life, like ways that I interact with the world. And I'm like, ooh, I should get on that train right now, or, you know, skip this other thing. And some of it's gut, like a gut feeling. And some of it is, it comes to me as like, I can actually hear it or see it as a phrase in my head, like go this way, take this job, don't do that, whatever. So when I'm curious, when you are getting, when you're doing readings, is it, do you hear it? Do you see it? Do you feel it? Like what's your main medium for transmission?
So I'll just give you an example and I'll come back to your question, because as you were saying them, I just remembered you were asking for examples and I had gone blank. So I'll give you an example. And you also know how I use my modalities. So once I was traveling. I was in the state of Washington. And, you know, I do two meditations, one at night and one in the morning. Partly to clear up all this energy, and partly to, it's just helpful to keep your, how do I say it? To keep your intuition activated, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. So when, and usually, as far as my senses are concerned, I have a couple of senses which are very, more dominant than the others. For instance, you know, so it's called clairaudience, when you just hear something and then you just follow those instructions. Now, some people will say God whispered to me. Some people will say I heard a sound, or I heard like a soft whisper or something. So that's the clairaudience. That's the ability of the spirit to receive the messages from the spirit, kind of a thing. So that is one of my stronger senses, the clairaudience. I usually hear a message. And then the other one is just knowing something, like that's called claircognizance, where you just know something without a rhyme or reason or anything. You just know that this is going to happen. Like if I go, I'll have an accident. So I'd rather stay home. And then I see that, oh, there was an accident. So this night, so this was just like the morning afterwards, I was going to start back and drive back to California. So I started doing my meditation, and I saw like a weird thing. Usually I just do my meditation to clear up the energies. So clairvoyance is not one of my stronger senses. And when it gets activated, that means something is definitely going on. So I started seeing these images about me being stranded on the freeway with the car. I had a rental car. And I saw this image about me being stranded on the freeway and lots of weird things happening after that. I'm like, dang, that's not a good image. So I just said that, okay, that's just a coincidence. I'll be fine. And I went to sleep. And then the morning I got up early because I had to leave. And I'm more of an early riser kind of a person. So I decided to get up early. And then before leaving, you know, of course, I wanted to do my meditation. So very innocently, I just sat down and I started doing my meditation. And then I see the same image. I'm like, man, two times in a row. Definitely the universe is trying to give me a message. So then after I was done with my meditation, then, you know, I kind of sat down and then I did a reading on the situation. Like, how is my journey going to be or something? That was the question I asked. How will my trip be back to California? Mm-hmm. And I saw an accident in there. So I said, okay, now, then I realized that I had to make a change. So one of the things, like I said, you can do with the readings is once you know something, you can make changes. So I realized that I had to return my rental car. And believe it or not, like the 2-3 days before, I had tried to exchange that rental car at the airport, and every time I tried to do it, they either didn't have a car or something else was going on, so I wasn't able to exchange the car. So that's the claircognizance, where I already knew something was wrong with the car, and I was trying to exchange it, but nothing was happening. And then because I wasn't able to act on it, which means that I wasn't able to get my card swapped, you know, the universe started giving me stronger messages, which was showing me these images of being stranded and then being stranded and then showing me the reading that, okay, there's going to be an accident. So because I'd already done all my homework, I said, okay, so let me drive to Portland and I'll drive to Portland. So I changed my route. I said, I'll drive to Portland and then I'll swap the car at the airport, because some of the other locations, they didn't have the cars. So I said, at the airport, definitely they have the cars. So I decided to drive the car to Portland and swap it over there and then go come back to California like that. So I was driving all the way. It was still quite a bit of a drive. I don't know, maybe at least 2-3 hours, something like that. So it almost felt like I was driving driving something which had a time bomb in it, because I didn't know when the car was going to get into an accident. But I was able to swap the car at the airport in Portland, and I made a joke with them. I said, you know, you may want to get that car checked before you rent it out. So then I started back and I was driving on I-5. So if you're not familiar, that's like the main interstate from Oregon up to California, and lots of cars most of the time, at least during the daytime. And then as I was driving the car, like on the side of the road, I saw this black Mercedes stranded on the freeway. And I'm like, oh my God, that could have totally been me had I not exchanged the car. But luckily I was able to get home safely. So that's like an example of how you can change and switch things.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had an experience when you meet a person and you just can't hear anything else in your head except you have to know this person, you have to meet them, and like making you get connected to a person? Does that ever happen to you?
So that has happened before, even like before I officially became a psychic, you know, I would go to this, like when I was an engineer, I would go to these networking meetings and, you know, I would see this guy. So I saw this guy and I would just hear a voice. Just go and talk to him. So then I would just go and talk to him. And then, you know, he would help me a little bit move forward in my project or something like that. But yes, you can definitely spot that. So for that, so there's 2 or 3 ways it can happen. One is like you see the person, right? So when you look into somebody's eyes, it's almost like you're actually looking into their soul. And if there's a soul connection, of course, you can tell very easily, because then you'll be drawn to them. So because you see some people say that, oh, I looked into his eyes and I knew he was the one, kind of a thing. So that's actually like a soul connection. So that is one way. And then the other way is you just hear a soft whisper, like I told you, that, hey, go and talk to that person. And then I go and talk to the guy. And then the third one is you just know. So unknowingly, you just go into the room and just walk up, and there's like 10 different groups over there, but you just walk up to this one group. So it's almost you're drawn to this person. So that's the claircognizance, where unknowingly you're just drawn to this person and, you know, you just go and start talking to him, and something may or may not come out, but essentially you're just drawn to the person.
So I'm curious more about when you have a soul connection with somebody, do you believe in reincarnation or anything like that?
Yeah. So as a spirit, so we are a human being. And as a human being, we are a spirit in a body. And this body, we have it only like for this lifetime. And after this lifetime, we no longer have this body. And then, you know, our spirit will go on and take a different body. So as a part of my journey or educating myself as a psychic, we used to do past life readings where we could look at a person. Well, we'd not literally look, but this was more psychically. So this was more over the phone. So we just tune into the energy of the person and then give them a description of their past lives. And you can use these past lives to actually get information from them and use it to how do I say it? Use it for whatever problem you're working on in your present life. Think of it as a book, right? Like, let's say that you have 100 books in your on your bookshelf and you've read all of them. And then, you know, suddenly you want to get information and you kind of remember which book it is. So you can just pull that book out and turn the page and say roughly it's in this area and read the information and implement it. Mm-hmm. So the past life is kind of the same thing. You can just get the information and the other person actually can make sense of the information and then implement it to move forward.
Cool. What else was I going to ask you? I have so many questions. I don't want to run out of time. I'm going to make a list of questions that I want to ask you for part two, but I definitely want to do a reading at some point.
Okay.
So we'll have to set that up. So before we run out of time, at the end of all of my shows, I ask all the guests the same 5 questions. Hopefully you haven't read too much into the future and you don't know what they are.
I don't know what they are. I didn't come prepared.
No, I'm glad you don't know what they are. I was just talking in the episode I recorded before this. I love when the guests have no idea what the questions are going to be. And I like to ask them at the end of the conversation because we sort of had our conversation and people tend to be a little bit more open and they tend to talk about things they wouldn't normally talk about. And in almost every show, somebody has ended up talking about something. They're like, I've never talked about this publicly before, but I'm going to. So I really like that I can give people that safe space to do stuff like that. So it's 5 question time, Ryan. It's 5 question time. Ryan is our editor and he makes it look and sound good for everyone. So yay, thanks to Ryan. Question number 1, tell me about an experience or a single moment that shaped who you are today.
Oh my God. That's a difficult question. Okay, so that shaped who I am today. I want to say that one of the things, so since we are, there's a lot of moments usually, but since we are talking about all the psychic stuff, I think it was the moment where I sat down that day and I said, today I'm going to change my future. And I said, if the reading says Stairmaster, I'll do the running and running Stairmaster. That kind of, you can say in a way it was very helpful or it changed the way I look at things or I think about things because it kind of helped me move forward in my journey as a psychic. Otherwise, I would have probably just dropped the thing and I may have done something else. Who knows? But that actually shaped who I am today. So perfect.
Okay. Number 2, when you feel defeated or overcome, what do you tell yourself to keep going?
Okay, so I think you're asking about failure or I know what you're trying to say. So when I'm in that state where nothing is working, I actually go out for a hike. I go out for a hike or exercise because usually that helps me change my current state or present state. And it helps me go to a different state and kind of think more clearly and get the answer. So that's how I actually get my answers. Most of my answers usually come from when I'm not sitting in front of my computer.
Right? And all sorts of inspiration when you're not sitting at a desk trying to work.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 3, tell me about a way you overcame a failure or a mistake and what you learned from it.
Overcame a failure or a mistake. Wow, that's a loaded question. I have to think a little bit, which is not a good thing because I cannot think.
Continue your time.
Failure or a mistake, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you one moment. I think I got it. So I went to this conference and at the end of the, in that conference, the lady who was hosting this conference, she was selling a course. The course was not very expensive, just $25,000. And I'm like, man, I'm not signing up for that. And then when I came, like once the conference was over and, you know, all that high energy vibe was gone, I was like sitting in my chair and I'm like, oh my God, there's no way. I mean, even if I have the money, I don't know if I want to spend the 25 grand with her. And I was just sitting and kind of wondering as to what my next step should be. And I got this email, one more email saying that, oh, we are doing a giveaway and this, that. And I started to host a giveaway. So I felt really defeated because I wasn't able to participate in that $25,000 course, which I really wanted to, a part of me at least. So I decided to host this giveaway. And then once I decided to host the giveaway, everything shifted because then I kind of got what I wanted to work on. And I kind of had the problem I was going to solve for businesses. And it literally kind of carved my way to move forward. So I'm very grateful for not having to spend the $25,000 and then getting a breakthrough.
Well, that works.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was some little voice telling you to go that way or something that you just knew, like, nope, I shouldn't buy this. I should do this other thing instead. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay. Number four, what one trait or habit is most responsible for keeping you on track?
Okay. That's a good question. I actually have an answer for that one. So when I was in my first job in engineering, we had this, in-house workshop or conference workshop, in-house workshop. And the guy from a company called Franklin Covey, the guy who wrote The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. So the guy from Franklin Covey, he actually came and gave a lecture. Not a lecture, a workshop. And he showed us how to use the Franklin Covey journal. So it's essentially a time management system. Mm-hmm. And it was a 2 or 3 day workshop. And my boss asked me to go and take it. And I went and took it. And since then, I use the Franklin Covey journal. And I actually still have it. So that's what it looks like. I won't show you the pages, but this is, oh, shoot, can't. But this is what it looks like. So essentially, it's a time management system. So I don't use any of the computer planners. I still use them. And in like 2 seconds, what you do is you just write down your tasks and you number them according to the importance and you keep track of them. But that was long, long time ago. But yeah, I still use that.
So I actually, in the last episode, I was talking about having ADHD and having a really hard time using a regular planner that has, here's your month, here's your weeks. There's a couple pages in the back for notes and stuff like that. And so I actually do bullet journaling and I write my planner out and I do a similar thing for each day. You know, I write what appointments I have, but I usually only add, you know, 3 to 5 things that I'm going to try and accomplish that day so that I don't have this huge, ginormous to-do list that is super old. Right. So it's funny that the end of both shows ended up talking about journaling.
Yeah. And one other thing you can also do is on a Sunday, you can just write down like what all stuff you want to achieve during the week. And then if you get done with your stuff, then, you know, you can just start. If you get done with your stuff for the day, you can go and look back at that. And then you can just add more items and try to finish your stuff early and take the week off.
Yeah, I usually, on Sundays, I try to do yoga first thing in the morning, and then mm-hmm. I set up my planner for the week. I write out my weekly spread, and I write a list of who I need to call that week, and all the tasks I need to do, what projects we're working on, what's coming up next week, and stuff like that. And having that, taking that time on Sunday before Monday starts is so crucial. I didn't do it this yep. week because I was decluttering my house instead, but I'm feeling it today. I was like totally not paying attention. You know, normally I would have done all the prep work and, you know, been ready for Monday. And I was like, not at all ready for Monday. Oh man. So yes, don't quit your bullet journal on a Sunday. Number five, what is the best piece of advice you've ever gotten? And what advice would you give other people?
What's the best piece of advice I've ever gotten? I'll give you a quote because I was talking to somebody a few days back and they asked me for the quote that I like the most. And it's actually translated from my mother tongue. I cannot say it in English, but I'll give you the closest translation. And essentially what it says is that even though you have the personality of a go-getter, no matter how hard you try, if the divine is not willing, nothing will come out of it.
Can you say it in the original language just so we can hear it?
No.
You're like, nope, that's not happening.
I actually don't remember a part of the wordings. So
that's all right. So that's your number one piece of advice that you've gotten. But what advice would you give?
Well, I kind of believe in that. So the advice I would give others is to go with your gut and not listen to what other people are saying, or not compete in other people's races, because everybody is like at a different point in their journey. And you never know whether if you're in your first mile, it doesn't make sense to compete with somebody who are in their 10th mile. So I think that it's important to kind of be on our own journey and just observe and just take what you can, at least a good part of it, and kind of keep going rather than thinking of competition all the time. Because I've seen people do that, especially in the entrepreneurial world. They're always kind of competing and comparing and this and that rather than kind of staying in their lane. Mm-hmm. So that's one piece of advice I would give.
Awesome. I love that. Well, that's my last question. Thank you for being on the show. Can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Yeah, so my website is my name, actually. So it's vaishalinikade.com, or you can just Google psychic and my name, Vaishali, and you should be able to find my website. And I have a lot of freebies if you click on the free page. So you can sign up for one of my freebies. And I also do a weekly forecast where every week, every Sunday, I give you a prediction of how your week is going to play out. So if you want to test drive a reading, that's the best way to do that, to sign up for the weekly forecast. Or I have a one question free reading where you can sign up for one question reading and it gives you the free reading for one question. So you could try that one as well.
Awesome. Well, we will link all of that in the show notes, and hopefully everybody calls you to get their future examined so they can decide if they want to ride out the path it was supposed to be on or figure out a way to change it. Which I think is really cool that you're like, yep, this is what's going to happen. So if you don't want that to happen, you better do something else. As opposed to just saying like, this is what fate has set and that's, you can't change it. And I like that you're like, yes, you know, there are plans, but you still have free will to do with the plans what you want. So awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us today on the Reach the Stars podcast. I have been your host, Jonna Willoughby-Lohr. If you love the show, give us a rating on iTunes. It helps people who wouldn't normally hear about the show to hear about it. If you're watching this on YouTube, give us a little thumbs up, leave some comments, subscribe to the channel. But most importantly, if you could share it with somebody else. If you like the show, just tell one other person about it, because that is how the butterfly effect takes over the world.
Tell three other people about it.
Well, you know, start with one. Start small. If you tell one person and it was super easy, then like shout it from the rooftops.
Okay, that's good. I like that.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being here with us. And we will catch you next week with a new exciting guest. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
A single interaction has the power to change your life forever. This is a place for the stories of those moments. Stories of pursuing dreams, overcoming tragedy and failure, of coming back to life after so much of what feels like dying, of continuing on with only a vision as a map. This is the place where those moments live on. Come sit by the fire, look up at the stars, and be forever changed too.
Thank you for being with us on the Reach the Stars podcast. Our theme music is generously provided by Byrocratic. You can find him on Bandcamp.com. Thank you to all of our current patrons, guests, and everyone else who helps make this dream a reality. We are so proud to be building this amazing community with all of you. If you love this podcast, please consider sharing with a friend, leaving a review on iTunes, and becoming a patron at www.patreon.com/reachthestars. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel to see the videos of these conversations. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, do something cool and tell us about it.